Today my topic is, and I think it's a very important concept, the energy of wrongdoing. The energy of wrongdoing. I'm going to say that a whole bunch of times in the next half hour or so. And I would spell it with a capital E and the word wrongdoing hyphenated. I think this thing, the energy of wrongdoing, is basically a saber-toothed tiger. It's like a goad, almost like a cattle prod that affects our behaviors and our thinking and our feeling. We could call it a burr underneath the saddle, right? You know, you're familiar with that cliche. It could be a rock in the shoe. It's the sand in the oyster. It's a splinter in the finger. And, on a larger level, it's a splinter in the heart. It's the problem to be solved. It's the challenge to be met. This is an important concept. The energy of wrongdoing is self-generated and generated by other people. If we've done something we shouldn't have done, or if we didn't do something we should have done, if we're normal people, we will take in the energy of wrongdoing. We're going to take in that vibration. I say normal because I'm talking about sociopaths or psychopaths. They're not normal, and they don't relate to wrongdoing like a normal person would. But you can imagine that the energy of wrongdoing feeds the lower emotional states of sag, flap, right? Shame, apathy, grief, fear, lust, anger, and pride. So that wrongdoing feeds and makes those things grow, and it makes them more solid and more powerful in our normal day-to-day life. The energy of wrongdoing also feeds self-rejection, and it interferes with the body's ability to heal because it causes stress for us. It is against our spiritual natures to be aligned with the vibration of wrongdoing. That's a human experience, and I'll go into that in some detail, but if you just think about that energy of wrongdoing, it starts to make things break down, come apart in a lot of different ways. In Scientology describes a withhold. It's an idea that we have done something, but nobody else knows that we've done that thing. We've done something wrong, but because nobody else knows about it, and we withhold that information from them, and even sometimes we try to withhold it from ourselves, it starts to vibrate disharmoniously throughout our body. And if you would think, that idea that if we've done something wrong and we're holding on to it, not a good thing for the body, not a good thing for the mind, not a good thing for our relationships with ourselves and others. In the book Leadership and Self-Deception, the act of not doing something for somebody else that we know we should do is described as an act of self-betrayal, self-betrayal. Betrayal and self-betrayal are energies of wrongdoing. Frankly, betrayal by a friend or a loved one is one of the most harmful actions. It's like getting hit by lightning because of the act of trust. That same action done by an enemy wouldn't surprise us, but betrayal is really a very big problem. The energy of wrongdoing can lead us to blame others for our behavior. That is, our failure to do what we know we should do for somebody else. We can look at that and go, they didn't deserve it, and they're bad people, and it wasn't my fault, and we go through all kinds of gyrations trying to justify that. And what we really do is, instead of taking responsibility for some action or inaction, we turn those people into objects instead of people. We blame them. There are a lot of ways to refer to human beings. I like the phrase that I use called meaning givers. Human beings are meaning givers. We're tool users, sure. We walk on our hind legs, sure. And we do various things, sure. But we're meaning givers, which is to say that we naturally assign causes to the effects that we perceive. Like, we see an effect, we go, oh, okay, let me see, what caused that? And then we make it up. As children, you can certainly understand, we didn't know what causes things. Even in religion, they still talk about things that are the effects, and they don't understand the cause, and it's a very confused area in human thinking and human beliefs and behaviors. If we think of ourselves as children, as the center of the universe, that is, the central point of existence, then what happens for kids is they go, because I'm the center of the universe, I've caused everything. So that makes me think, it makes me feel as if I'm the cause of all the things that we perceive emotionally, as well as visually, as well as physically, as well as mentally. So if we're the cause and we see unhappiness in our environment, we've done something wrong. It's not very far-fetched for me anyway to believe that a very young child who experiences unhappy parents, hello, who hasn't, and that child takes responsibility for causing that unhappiness, and because unhappiness is out of alignment with our spiritual core, which is only love, so now we're out of alignment, we take in the energy of wrongdoing. In other words, to a child, the unhappiness is her or his fault. It was caused by his or her wrongdoing. Drawing in the energy of wrongdoing from the first time makes drawing in the energy of wrongdoing a second and third time, and many more times after that, much easier. It's like, right? We can habituate that process. We can make a habit of it. It becomes easier and easier because we practice it, we practice it, we practice it. I did wrong. And pretty soon, all wrong on earth is our fault. Things can be even more complicated if we grew up in a family in which disapproval, just think of disapproval as the energy of wrongdoing, it's used to control other family members. The energy of wrongdoing in that kind of environment where it is so normal, so common, so frequent, so accepted, it makes it even more virulent. Really damaging, because we start to lose sight that it's an abnormal, bad, harmful, toxic thing going on here. Over the years, there have been studies of how people react to abuse, and one of the studies that I was familiar with had to do with twins that were in abusive homes. And it indicated in the study that the twin who fights back, who overtly or covertly, suffers less long-term damage psychologically than the twin who accepts responsibility and just absorbs a lot of the wrongdoing that is being done to them, around them, on them. They take in that energy. So I interpret that to mean that a child that doesn't accept the responsibility doesn't take in the energy of wrongdoing. They can see it as belonging to the abuser and not to them. There's a book, horrific in its descriptions of the abuse of a mother to a son, the book, The Boy Called It. I think the guy's name is Dave Pelz, P-E-L-Z, if I remember correctly. And it is unbelievable what this woman did to this boy. But very early on, this boy knew, it's not me. This woman is strange. If you were to read that book, you would go, whoa, my life has been a joyride compared to that experience. Do we know how the energy of wrongdoing shows up in human behavior? And there are lots of ways. In the early chapters of Genesis in the Bible, the energy of wrongdoing and punishment. Wrongdoing, punishment. Wrongdoing, punishment. Oh, yeah, this is normal. That's where we get our first lesson, if you will. For a lot of children, there it is in a holy book, so it's just, you can't really argue with it. The average person doesn't allow themselves to argue with what's in the Bible. So this allegory or fictional story of the Bible, the Garden of Eden, is accepted as if it's fact by many people. And the only way you can imagine that to be fact, this is a true story of creation. In one 24-hour period, this happened. In one 24-hour period, this happened. The only way to accept that is not to think about it very much. This made-up wrongdoing is used as justification by men to subjugate women. Well, we have to, because look what Eve did. It's weird. It's weird. And it goes on all over the globe, and it's going on for thousands of years. That's the excuse. The energy of wrongdoing also shows up as self-punishment. And that vibration tries to extinguish our light. As we punish ourselves, that is not right doing. That is not right doing. That's wrongdoing. But punishment has been sold to us in the Bible, in our homes, in churches, in schools, on a playground, all the time. Because wrongdoing is contrary to our spiritual nature, I think this is what explains the energy of wrongdoing being painful. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good. The only people, as I mentioned before, the sociopaths, the psychopaths, who lose their connection to it doesn't feel good, have been so wronged that they can't process information effectively at all. The energy of wrongdoing acts to make us think and feel that we're less than others. Right? It makes us view ourselves as not enough. And if we believe that lie, we're going to expect less, we're going to create less, we're going to ask for less, we're going to give less, and of course, we're going to receive less, because the energy of wrongdoing doesn't allow me. It's telling me that I'm less than I am. That can be healed. Comparing ourselves to others is a dangerous, dangerous activity. We do it all the time. We do it all the time. It's a human thing, but it's problematic. We're going to take in the energy of wrongdoing if we judge ourselves less than, right? Ooh, this energy belongs to me because I'm less than somebody else. Or we're actually going to take in the energy of wrongdoing if we try to project it onto somebody else. In order to project the energy of wrongdoing onto somebody else, we have to have it. We have to take in the energy of wrongdoing and then throw it at them. And, of course, you can understand that. So, I've got that. So, if I'm projecting myself as superior, that means I'm trying to diminish somebody else. And it's proof positive that we're not superior. Either way, we're believing lies that distort our views of reality. We're not less than, and we're not more than others. We're different, and we're equal. The energy of wrongdoing shows up as this hypersensitivity to criticism, which, of course, is wrongmaking. You can just imagine somebody on pins and needles all the time, that any look, any word, any vibration that says something about them is wrong. Ooh, there's going to be some sort of reaction. That sensitivity has two main avenues of expression, I'll say. One is hypervigilance and defensiveness, right? Leading to aggression or retreat, running away. Fighting, they'll fight at the drop of a hat. Not the hat doesn't even have to be dropped. That's how hypersensitive, hypervigilant, on edge these folks are. Or they'll back off, they'll run away at the least provocation. Those two patterns of behavior are problematic, as you can imagine. If we are, or we see somebody extremely committed to the need to be right, and a lot of people are, that's a tendency I have, we can guess that they know the pain of the energy of wrongdoing. Right? Why would somebody have to be right, have to be right, have to be right all the time? Because they were fed the energy of being right all the time? I doubt it. I doubt it. They're trying to compensate, trying to overcome the energy of wrongdoing. If somebody retreats at the first sign of resistance to their energies, their thoughts or their opinions that they express, their emotions that they express, or even their physical presence or behaviors, it's probably due to their previous experiences with the energy of wrongdoing. In the letter Christ Returns, this is letter 6, Christ lists the negative characteristics that we would want to remove, dissolve, or overcome. And in letter 6, he also describes a process to do that. One is, these are what we'd want to overcome: criticism, sarcasm, judgmentalism, rejection, denigration, enmity, intolerance, hatred, jealousy, aggression, violent impulses, thieving, falsehoods, double and devious dealings, and slander. Every one of these negative characteristics has the energy of wrongdoing. You go, wow. When we criticize, we can use it and justify it by saying, that other person is guilty of wrongdoing. I was just pointing it out. But if we look deeper into our own thoughts and feelings, we would surely see that our perception that we are guilty of that. And this is kind of like that cold winter morning static that we would build up. So when we project it outward, I think that's a really, really great clue to go, wait a minute. Let me see if I process something and took in some energy of wrongdoing. I think so. The bad feelings really are our own wrongdoing. And they can grow, kind of like the power of a thunderstorm starting to grow, building, to the point where it becomes noisy. And, with lightning, it could even be shocking discharges of the energy of wrongdoing onto other people or onto other things. It's easy to see how those negative characteristics that I just read fits the same pattern, just with more or less intensity than the thunderstorm metaphor, right? That build up and go down. Sarcasm is, that's not like hitting a person with a sledgehammer, but it's sticking them with a knife. It's like trying to hurt them with words. It's a put down. It's trying to diminish somebody, and it's wrongdoing. It's wrongdoing, and it'll end up hurting us. I have a concept that I've developed called management by disapproval. And really, it's basically a description of how the pain potential of disapproval is used as a control device on children, used on parents, used on congregations by churches, used on citizens by government and police authorities. It's used on students, it's used on peers, it's used on boyfriends and girlfriends and spouses and employees. This using the pain of disapproval, right? Wrong making. I'm going to make you wrong if you don't do it my way. You go, wow, this is really prevalent. Sure it is. The energy of wrongdoing makes us as politicians, makes us pass laws that increase the number of people doing illegal things, right? What are laws? Here, let me tell you, I'm going to add another thing that's wrong to do. Okay, let's pass a law. All of this stuff. And unfortunately, a lot of these laws are passed, a lot of this wrongmaking is done so more people are wrongdoing. So we can arrest them, we can prosecute them, we can imprison them. And you go, why? Why would we take a social activity there is no harm, it's victimless, there's no problem actually in it? Why would we do that? Well, the prison industry, the police industry, needs to supply people in order to produce unbelievable profits. So the greed of executives of the prison industry are what helping places like Arizona, specifically Arizona, has shown that the prison industry writes the laws and then the legislature in Arizona passes it. oh, good, now we can scoop more fish because the net is woven tighter because we made a law for this and a law for that and a law for this and a law for that. There was a story recently in the newspaper about people being arrested for walking on the edge of the road and not walking on sidewalks in the area of Miami. Now, gee, coincidentally, the people being arrested were black, the arresting officers were white, and the crime? Not walking on the sidewalk. Guess what? Where these people were arrested, there were no sidewalks. You go, wow. So, in theory, if you got a sidewalk to walk on, it's safer than walking on the edge of the road. Yep, we got that. However, if there is no sidewalk, arresting people for walking on the edge of the road seems like a foolish way to use wrongmaking. To make a person guilty of wrongdoing in a circumstance like that is clearly absurd. And, as it turns out, really racist. The energy of wrongdoing, for my purposes, is a general description of a variety of disease-causing energies. Just imagine that. This energy is really, it's almost like I could be saying bacteria or viruses or protozoa. I'm talking about a general category because there's a lot of specifics underneath that. But you can see that the symptoms of this would include distortion of thinking. So low vibration ideas are fed energy. We think almost like cavemen versus more sophisticated, more loving, more Christ-like people. We would be cavemen, and we would be adding energy to low vibration ideas, and they become stronger and more habitual. And then pretty soon, those kind of ideas, because we fed them, we practiced them, their habit patterns, they filter, they end up controlling our thinking overall. The energy of wrongdoing distorts our emotional processes too. And so we have an experience, how do we process it? Wrongdoing, we would make it wrong. We would see everything as a saber-toothed tiger. We would see it as a threat. We would see ourselves as the problem. We would see other people and things as the problem. And so now we would end up rejecting so much more ourselves, others, other things. And you can just imagine if we perceive environmental signals more frequently as threats to our safety, threats to our individuality, threats to our lives, threats to our privacy. We're going to be less mindful because we're going to be more reactive, more stressed, less thoughtful, less using our cognitive capabilities. Why? Because when we're under stress, when we're threatened by these imagined situations, we're not functioning very well. Physically, this shows up too. We can start to show signs that the normal communication within the body starts to break down. Now, if your organs and your tissues and the cells become less cooperative, that is, they don't send and receive signals as effectively. Uh-oh. Can you imagine somebody's, and I hear this, of course, and you can imagine this too. Somebody says, gee, I can't move my big toe. The signal from the brain to the toe is not happening, either not being sent, not being received, or not being processed correctly. It's getting stored, distorted or blocked along the way. And you go, yikes, yikes. And the worst possible situation is if those signals are not even sent, period. The body, the emotions, the mind are really now, under this circumstance, the worst circumstance, they're no longer under the control of our higher vibration management, if you will, our values, our desire to be high vibration, our desire to be loving, our desire to be supportive and caring. Basically, the stuff that Christ would have demonstrated to us as the way to be. We wouldn't be under the control of those energies anymore. We would be under the lowest vibrational control. The energy of wrongdoing keeps us out of balance. And pretty much you know that's not a desirable state. That's real stressful. And what happens in order to get back into balance, most people would try to move the energy of wrongdoing by targeting somebody else. Energy has to move. So now what do we do with it? We throw it at somebody else. We aim it at a person or a situation or an object. People think that, this feels better. I just ranted. I just raved. I just did something violent. That gave me a sense of relief. That is mighty, mighty temporary. Because actually what's happening here is that we're sowing seeds of disharmony or rejection. And we're creating a future harvest of disharmony and rejection. That is not what we want to do if we were processing information on a higher level. But on a lower level, operating from wrongdoing, the guilt, the regret, the anger, the fear, we're not processing information effectively. That energy of wrongdoing can be like shackles that prevent us from moving ahead, right? I got a chain around my ankle, if you will. Other ways, it could be a wall. I want to go ahead, but this huge wall right in front of me is preventing me from doing that. And for other people, and I think basically we're all going to experience these and then a whole bunch more that I'm not even aware of or talking about, is we're trying to get away from that threat, that energy of wrongdoing, like it's chasing us. So we'll do more and do more and do more. Can't rest, can't relax, gotta do more. So we're trying to outrun our own shadow, but even as kids we learn pretty quickly, not going to do that, when that doesn't really work. So we either give up, go into depression or apathy, that we can't outrun this thing. We stop doing entirely because we don't think we can produce any good. We can't produce any value because we have these X number of experiences of wrongdoing, and that energy seems everywhere, and that's what we focus on. And so now we hobble ourselves. We prevent ourselves from doing. We prevent ourselves from attracting what we want. We prevent ourselves from doing what we want because we believe that nothing but wrongdoing is going to result. That needs to be healed. It's easy enough to understand that if I had a seed that was a tomato seed, for instance, the consciousness in that seed is of a tomato. I'm not going to get a coconut. I'm not going to get a pineapple. I'm not going to get a potato. I'm going to get a tomato. That's what the consciousness is. So now all of a sudden, if we would say, if I have a thought or a feeling or a word or an action that contains the consciousness of wrongdoing, the chances of that blossoming into right doing, not likely anytime soon. So, how do we express, you and me, how do we express the energy of wrongdoing? Do we blame innocent people and things? Do we sacrifice their happiness? Oh, as a Catholic, do we go to a confession to get absolution? Do we have one day a year, if we're Jewish, we have Yom Kippur? Do we atone for all the wrongdoing of the previous year? And then the day after, go back to doing things as we've done all along? Do we think that this confession or wrongdoing or blaming is really going to undo all the sowing of the seeds that we've done? Do you think that we can sacrifice some other thing and that undoes all the stuff that we've done? Or do we alternate between blaming ourselves and others, thereby continuing and actually multiplying the pain of the energy of wrongdoing? Or, as I talked about a minute ago, do we try to shut down our own electromagnetic natures to avoid causing or attracting more wrongdoing? Do we self-punish? And there are probably a lot of other ways that we do that. So, what can we do with the energy of wrongdoing? Since it's inherent. It's inherent. We're even sold this idea that because we're born human, that's wrong. We're wrong. And it's blamed on Eve and Adam. And just by virtue of us being born, we're wrong. inherently sinful. So we're really sold this energy of wrongdoing. We're infected with it. So how do we make it more positive? And frankly, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. We have the ability to raise the vibration of our thoughts and our feelings and our words and our actions. We can do that. We're creative in that regard. We need to want to do it, and then we need to choose to do it. Oh, I want to do it. I want to do it. I want to do it. Yep, add the next step. Doing it. Doing it. We can raise the vibration of our thoughts, our feelings, our words, and our actions. Energy needs to move. It needs to move. So if we've taken in the energy of wrongdoing, we will want to raise its vibration. We can add value to it. We can raise it up individually, and then we can express it. And we can do this. We can raise this vibration rather than just as an immediate pass-through. A punch in the arm results in a punch in the arm. If we can take a punch in the arm or take any environmental signal and establish a high vibration meaning to it, we're meaning givers. We're going to give it meaning. So if we can not settle on a caveman meaning, but in fact look for a higher meaning, we're going to be much better off. And from that place, from that higher place, now all of a sudden we've added value to that environmental signal, and what comes out of us is higher vibration. It's easy enough to say, but if you look deeper at an experience, you might be able to see something that on the surface is unavailable to your awareness. But if I looked at that and say, look deeper, in terms of time, deeper would mean earlier. Go back in time. Go earlier. Go earlier. So if you can do that, all of a sudden you recognize you're experiencing the energy of wrongdoing. Oh, hold on a second. Let me go back in time a little bit. Let me go deeper and see where something got activated. Some belief, some energy pattern, some idea, some image of wrongdoing, some memory, some cellular memory got activated about wrongdoing, made me feel bad, and now all of a sudden I'm staticky. If we do that, we're gaining a lot of self-control, and all of a sudden we have great opportunities. If we look for the first experience that of when that occurred in any environment, then all of a sudden we can go back and look at it and look at it, and that view, looking at it with intention at this point in time, because this is not when it was created, we expand the number of possibilities that exist for us. And then we can start to raise the vibration of that energy of wrongdoing. We don't need to pass it on like eye for an eye. Christ indicated to us to rise above that, to rise above that, and we can do it. If we accidentally step on somebody's toes, you know what we do? We'd immediately apologize. Apologizing is an effective way of dealing with the energy of wrongdoing. Apologize. Write a letter of apology. Say a prayer of apology. Express your apology. Make it sincere. Allow that energy to go. You're raising the vibration and letting it go. Restitution is another thing that people do, right? I stole a dollar from you. Here's a dollar back. I'm making restitution. So repayment of damages, that's a standard part of an effective way to deal with the energy of wrongdoing. But in our culture, in the United States, imprisonment is used excessively. That's a terrible use, generally speaking, for the energy of wrongdoing, because it doesn't rehabilitate. It does not restore any damages done. It just costs even more for society to put a person in jail. The process of putting a person in jail costs enormous amounts of money. And so if we take a guy who has stolen, like Bernie Madoff, enormous amounts of money, and then pay enormous amounts of money to imprison him in a white-collar prison, it's like, tell me how the society benefited from that? Forgiveness is when we choose to apply a high vibration energy to the energy of wrongdoing. That, instead of adding more energy of wrongdoing, by retaliation or blaming or hurting or making things worse is a huge step upward. It's a very high vibration way of dealing with the energy of wrongdoing, forgiveness. And understanding that we, like everybody else, all people, all animals, all living things, think, feels, if they could speak or act, everything that's living is acting from the basis of consciousness. So we and all animals are operating from our own consciousness. If we could wake up to the fact that life is all about raising our consciousness, not punishing people for acting a lower consciousness, but in fact raising the consciousness, life would be totally, totally different, which is exactly what Christ was talking about the whole time. Raising consciousness instead of punishing. Forgiveness of self and others, to me, is the single most effective step in healing the energy of wrongdoing, along with asking for divine consciousness, God, to help in that process of raising our consciousness and forgiving ourselves and others, so that always on our menu of options, the first thing that appears is loving, bonding. I'd like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 of Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we're sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.